For 2026, Toyota is the best resale value brand according to Kelley Blue Book. With the Tacoma, Tundra, and 4Runner named the top three for resale value above all vehicles by KBB. And with special financing available at your local Toyota dealer, you can enjoy affordability today, while great resale value can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
...of your local entertainment transmission.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Past, present, future, long-term future, into the realm future, before birth past.
I don't know what that is, man. Hey, cuckoo, baby, don't tell me.
Jeff Lutz.
Go to a therapist, just so you won't doubt me anymore.
Now get out of here or I'll have my legs broken.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It is going to be in, wait for it. Incredible.
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host, father-son duo. We're here till 6 o'clock this evening when we give away to K-State basketball on the road at Oklahoma State to play the Cowboys. K-State's certainly struggling, as is Oklahoma State. 869-1240, the phone number. We invite your calls, as always, between the hours of 3 and 3:20, although today, I'm sorry, 5 and 5:20.
Three and 3:20. Yeah, that's when they're supposed to call.
There you go. Isn't that confusing?
Yes.
Call between 3 and 3:20. 869-1240.
It's 5 right now, but tomorrow call at 3:20.
Yeah. Well, in general, call between 3 and 3:20, right?
Yeah.
Let's start with the Shockers, who last night was maybe the most depressing Shocker home game in recent memory. You'd have to go back to the Cohen Thompson era to find anything more sad than the performance of the Shockers, first of all, in a 91-72 home loss to South Florida, but then the crowd. And I understand it's a bad night to get out. I get it. And that's part of the reason for the bad crowd.
Of course.
But another part of the reason is that fewer and fewer people care about the Shockers. And that's not entirely on them. There's a series of dynamics that have made that the case. It's complicated.
What are those dynamics in your opinion?
Well, the dynamics are this. NIL and transfer portal, for sure. The heights that they arose to under Greg Marshall during his coaching tenure.
Sure.
We'd not experienced anything like that. And it was like a drug that we didn't know what to do with. And all the winning set a precedent. And then that all crumbled and came falling down. And ever since then, Isaac Brown was given the interim job and then hired full time. I don't have a problem with that, although it didn't work. Isaac Brown left, was let go. And Paul Mills came in after a successful run at Oral Roberts.
Marginally.
Well, he got to a NCAA tournament and was 30-5 the preceding year before he arrived at Wichita State. That's nothing marginal about that.
But so, overall, the body of work.
I'm talking.
Well, I'm talking too.
I'll get to you in a minute. Yeah, I'll get to you in a minute.
Get to me in a little bit. I'll be over here
when
listening.
I'm done.
Yeah, sure.
But if you interrupt me, it'll take me long.
I think the 30-5 year was 2 years.
Okay, 30-5.
Right.
Had two really good years. Nobody balked at the hiring of Paul Mills. But since Paul Mills was hired, you've had NIL come into play in a major way. you've had the transfer portal come into play in a major, major way. Everything's intervened to the point where these kinds of schools like Wichita State are having more and more trouble. The American Athletic Conference, which we were overjoyed when the Shockers joined, what was it, 8 years ago, 7 years ago?
Yeah, more than that.
No, it was my last year. It was 2017-18 was the first.
15.
It was not.
You sure?
I'm positive.
It was only that
long
ago? It
was the first year after I retired.
Okay.
2017-2018. At that time, you had UConn. You had Cincinnati. You had Houston. You had a who's who of college basketball traditional powers. Those schools have all left. And in their stead, you have the likes of Charlotte and Texas San Antonio and Rice and UAB. And this is as mediocre a conference outside of Memphis as you can possibly imagine. Right now, UTSA has 6-7. That's the Shockers' next opponent coming up this weekend in San Antonio. Then they have Charlotte and East Carolina at home. Charlotte 7-8, East Carolina 8-7. Tulsa, their next opponent, 6-9. North Texas, pretty good record, 10-4. No quality wins to speak of. Florida Atlantic has taken a big step back at 8-7. Tulane 8-7. UAB, the preseason pick to win this conference, coming off a very good year last year, 8-7. And Rice, the most meaningless 11-4 team in the country.
I bet they feel pretty good about it, though.
They might, but they haven't beaten a soul.
Of course not. Rice.
They'd have a better record, a worse record at the YMCA over lunch. So all of these factors have added up to a malaise surrounding Shocker basketball that they can't get out of. They're stuck in it. They're outside of winning games and playing impressively. I don't know what the solution is. This is not an interesting time for Wichita State basketball.
No, it's about the least interesting time. And last night's game was about the least interesting. It was not interesting. It just wasn't enjoyable. And that's why I said on Facebook, it's been a while since there's been an enjoyable, a joyful product that people want to go out and experience and feel good about and be a part of. It's just like dark. It's just, there's something weird about it.
When there's 2,500 people there, it's never going to be exciting.
Well, I understand that.
We're used to that building being jammed. Maybe not used to it because it's been a little while since that was the case. But we remember a time when it was jammed with enthusiasm and people were excited.
Right.
And they're not excited right now. And this team has not given them anything to be excited about unless you like watching your opposing team shoot wide open threes all night, which is so irritating. I'm not even a fan and I'm irritated. How can you just let them sit out there and shoot wide open threes? College basketball players are going to make more of those than not.
And their big man was getting some pretty easy looks too.
Yes.
At least in the first half. I gave up on it after that, but they were getting easy shot after easy shot, and it never really subsided.
And then the Shockers taking all kinds of threes when they're not a very good shooting
team. They can't make threes.
And it just defies logic, and I think Shocker fans have either checked out, most of them. I think most of them have checked out or are angry. I don't think there's anything else.
What was the mentality of the 2,500 or whatever in the building last night?
They love their school.
That's it? That's all it is? There's no... We've got something here. I want to be on the ground floor of this, and we're definitely moving forward, and I can see the plan, and I can see the vision. I'm going to go out on a Monday when it's freezing, when there's ice all over the road.
They're fans of their school. They're loyal, diehard.
But what is the mentality?
The mentality is I support Wichita State.
And I'm going to go out on this Monday.
Exactly.
That takes a lot of work.
You feel the way about them you feel about the Guardians.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd go to a Guardians
game. Then you're not as much a fan as
they are. In 25-degree weather.
Then you're not as much a fan as they are.
When they're terrible.
Well, you get to sit indoors at a soccer game.
That's true.
In case you didn't know.
Sometimes.
So, yeah, they feel a strong loyalty to their team and their school. And that's just the reality. That's how I used to be when I was a kid.
Sure.
You couldn't have kept me away from a soccer game. Now, I had much more to hang my hat on, even in some of the lean years.
And you were still a kid. Who cared if they lost?
Even the lean years were exciting.
That's my point.
And you knew you were watching something special.
That's my point. Look,
you knew when you were watching Warren Armstrong play that he was a special talent. And, okay, they went 12-14. But the 14 games they lost were mostly against really good competition.
So we're saying the exact same thing. There needs to be some level of enjoyment, excitement, a player to go out and watch, and there's just none of that. The product on the court is not exciting.
No, and we don't know the players. The players have no real claim to Wichita. They're just basically passing through. We'll never probably see them again when they leave Wichita. They've not put down any kind of roots here. They're here to play basketball.
And here's the biggest problem with that is you discard them as fans. And I'm not saying this always happens, but the second something goes wrong, it's like, okay, I'm done with this guy. I've seen enough. When if this guy's a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, goes through your program, he has a body of work, and when it's bad, you can revert to, okay, well, I know he's going to be fine because he's played well. Now it's bad, and, well, we don't know any of these guys anyway. We're out.
And you know, next year's team's going to look completely different.
Right.
Because this team is filled with seniors. Outside of a Corey Washington, and I don't know what his plans are, whether he wants to come back. I mean, my goodness, who knows?
When you don't have to, I mean, it makes the decision easier. Not that he'll stay or he'll go, but it's not like there's anything standing in his way.
And we get Texas San Antonio next. I'll be watching that one. Oh, God. No.
I don't think I'll be watching that.
The Shockers did the right thing to go to the American. It turned into a disaster.
No question. Not going to push back on that at all. But they haven't held up there into the bargain at all.
The problem is you knew it had that chance. And it could get worse. I still think Memphis is not long for the American. I just can't believe there's not a conference that wouldn't want Memphis. I mean, Major League City, great facilities. They play in an NBA arena. Their football program's gotten better. I have to believe that Memphis is not long. You know, I'll do my annual
with Jeff Calkins.
Yeah.
Well, if like the guy said yesterday, C.J. Moore from The Athletic, if it was going to happen, feels like it would have happened by now.
Well, I'm going to get with Jeff Calkins from a longtime Memphis media guy and see what he has to say. Because Memphis can't – we're sitting here grumbling in Wichita – Memphis is good. They're probably going to go to the NCAA tournament. They don't have much of a reason to grumble, but their fan base can't be happy about this conference.
No, that's why you see them playing out-of-conference games against name opponents, because you know that's not going to happen when they get into the conference season. Nobody's excited about that, and nobody in this league can be excited about any opponent.
This conference isn't bad in football. The American's not bad. In football, you look at Tulane, you look at Army, which is a football-only member of the American. It's okay.
Yeah, they have some Southern schools.
There's a few things to hang your hat on. And maybe it'll get back to where it's okay in basketball, but it's not there right now. And I don't know what to think. I know watching that game last night, and I could only watch it. I could only watch it a half. My wife is a... She's a Shocker fan, so she wants to watch them. And it's tough at times to say, hey, they're down 20 at halftime. You sure you want
to? Yeah, I don't know what you have to hold on to there.
She just cares about the Shockers.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And, you know, I like Paul Mills from what I know of him. It's not like we hang out. He's been on the show a few times. I think he's a quality guy. I can't tell you if he can coach because right now the evidence is that we're not sure, right? that sure. To be kind, we're not sure.
Right.
Some people are sure. Those
another thing, like you cycle through these coaches again, and once it starts to go wrong, nobody in the community has their back because they're not of, by, and for the community, so to speak. They didn't. Isaac Brown was a little bit, and he got some support, and there were people who were upset when he was let go. But if you just bring in coach, and you're paying this coach, and you're paying that coach, and you bring in another one, and this guy doesn't succeed, then it. You like you said, there's so many elements that just
there
have
are,
people.
There
off
are board. Only a few schools at this level that depend this much on their basketball program to steer the ship, and Wichita State is one of those schools. The Big East has a bunch of them, but Wichita State, outside of the Big East, is one of those schools that has to have a men's basketball program that is successful. Define success how you want, but Wichita State can't survive without it. I don't know how
I'm
they're
aware.
Paying the bills. $2,500. I don't even open up the gym for 25.
Not sure that even that many showed up. The loudest cheers, it felt like, for most of the night came from the South Florida bench.
You could hear the movement in the crowd last night on television. That's how weird it was.
Right.
You could almost hear the popcorn getting eaten. It was just bizarre.
Cavernous.
Unbelievable. Today on the show, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Speaking of basketball programs that have issues, we've got another one up the road in Manhattan, Kansas State. Tim Fitzgerald will talk about the Cats and their plight as they prepare for a road game tonight in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. It'll be interesting to see what kind of crowd shows up for that game. Oklahoma State's been down for a little while. And at 5:45, we have Ryan Petty, the boys' basketball coach at Augusta. They're off to an unbeaten start, 4-0, and they have the Mighty McPherson Bullpups in town tonight.
It's a big one.
Mighty McPherson.
Yeah, McPherson's going to be tough.
Back to the Shockers for a minute. We'll have a game coming up in hour number two, which you can hear on the podcast version of the show. Max will get that prepared for you. We'll have a podcast version in which you can hear Time to Play the Game coming up.
Hour two.
Right.
So to speak.
I was texting with a friend of mine last night, and I settled on it's a mishmash of players that doesn't mesh.
Oh, okay.
That's not bad, is it?
That's all right.
I said, feel free to use that.
You would have loved to have written that in the column.
It would have been a good line. It's a good line.
It's not bad.
No, it's a good one.
It's all right.
I can tell by your reaction.
It's all right.
You would have never
mishmash is a little outdated, but it's all right.
Well, look up to what it means.
I know what it means.
Well, tell me.
A mishmash, a hodgepodge.
Right. Just kind of all thrown together and they don't mesh. Mishmash doesn't mesh.
Confused mixture.
Right. I'm going to bounce that off Tim Fitzgerald, a guy that's been around journalism a long time.
Probably say that about Kansas State at this very moment. They haven't quite put it together either, with a lot of pieces that are mishmashy and not meshing.
No, they haven't found the right formula. And then you think back to Wichita State's performance against Kansas State, and you're like, why is this happening? Why are they this bad? Well, one of the reasons is because they're giving up a ton of points. They're not defending anybody. They have the second worst defense in the American right now. Only Florida Atlantic, believe it or not, has given up more points per game than the Shockers. And the Shockers, if you saw the game last night, and as I said earlier, South Florida came in here they're in the 200 range.
Not good.
Their net.
They looked really good, though.
Well, yeah, you know how you look really good?
Open
when you're standing at the open three-point line.
I get it.
Boy, any team in the country is going to look good if you let them do that.
And we talk about K-State, but as you get further or closer, that one is the one that looks like the outlier. You look at UMKC and Temple and South Florida, the games where they really don't put up much of a fight are getting further ahead than the games they do.
I contended early on that this team had enough talent to be a pretty good team. I don't know what's happened. No defense. That's all I can come up with. They're scoring. They can score. They have guys that can score.
Well, they can play.
They can't defend.
They can play in a game that's fast paced. That's not. I mean, they're okay at scoring.
No, they're good at scoring.
They're okay.
No,
they can't shoot. They can.
They
all teams have to do is run them, and we'll get 90, and they'll get 75, and we'll call it a day.
They score. And I'm going to stick with that.
I'll stick with it.
I mean, I don't know how you can dispute it.
Well, let's take a break. We'll dispute it later on.
We'll dispute it later, but I don't know how you dispute it. We'll be back with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. He joins the show to talk about K-State next.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, we're back. The Ohio Players, Fire, the number 16 song, the week of January 6th, 50 years ago in 1975. Here's Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, our frequent guest. As we talk about Kansas State athletics. Fitz, welcome. How are you today?
Your bump music just made a fat old man dance.
There you go. Well, you got to tap your toes to the Ohio Players, no question. Let's start with football, even though it's in the distant past now. K-State's bowl game win in the Rate Bowl, in which Dylan Edwards really broke out. How hopeful should we be that Dylan Edwards showed us what's to come in that game?
Yeah, it was impressive, wasn't it? Now, look, there was some matchup issues with Rutgers that played to his advantage, and honestly, anyone with speed. That was a big, strong defense built for the Big Ten, built for Big Ten running backs, not for a 5'7" guy that can run like the wind. And they contained him at times, but when he had enough space, they couldn't handle him. I mean, they just couldn't track him down. And I thought he was really impressive. He looked the most locked in. I didn't notice him blowing any assignments, which, it's been kind of a knock. He doesn't fully know the playbook, so maybe he kind of settled in a little bit. I thought he was really impressive. He handled himself extremely well in postgame. And, that was a real positive thing for K-State. I think coming out of that, though, it made it pretty clear to them, between him and Joe Jackson, who's a little bit bigger but not really big, they need to get in the portal and find more of a third down bruiser of a back, which they have done with a transfer out of Nebraska who didn't play much but will be a nice complement to those speed guys.
Now that the season is over, his season is over, do you look at Avery Johnson's season at all differently? We know he didn't run a bunch, but he did set the program record for touchdown passes, which I was stunned by. And you think he can put that together with some increased running next year and really just have the entire package?
Yeah, was it interesting after, you know, the season was basically done at the pre-bowl press conference, Chris Klieman admitted he was 4 or 5 games after Colorado where they did not want to run him. They did it sparsely, but it wasn't until late in the season that he kind of had returned to his more healthy way. And Avery told me at the bowl game it was the healthiest he'd felt since the start of the season. So he was able to get out there and run. And, you know, getting more mass on him is certainly going to be an off-season goal. They've got to get him to be a little bit more durable. But in terms of his season, if you go back and look, well, first of all, the touchdown record, let's be honest here. It's impressive that he did that in his sophomore season. It's also an indictment of how bad K-State football was for a lot of years. But they didn't have touchdowns, let alone throwing touchdowns. So the bar was a little bit lower than with most programs. Because even after, you know, Bill Snyder got here, Chad May was really the only truly passing quarterback he had. He kind of started to move into the quarterback run game not long after that. And that also waters down touchdowns. I think Avery had a pretty solid season. Taking the fact into consideration that he took away his biggest weapon, his legs. He did throw the ball fairly effectively. I think what skews everyone's opinion of Avery's season wasn't just the turnovers. It was the timing of those turnovers before half, at the start of the game, at the end of the game. It seems like too many of his turnovers had a seismic impact on the outcome of the game, and I think that sticks with a lot of fans, and honestly, it does just cast a shadow over the entire season.
Talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, the publisher, longtime journalist in our state. I described Wichita State's team, basketball team, last night to a friend of mine as a mishmash of talent that doesn't mesh. Could the same thing be said about K-State?
Yeah. Although, since that Wichita State game, I've thought they've been better. They should have won at TCU. I understand that. They didn't play well enough, long enough in that game. They had some lapses in the first half that were incredibly costly. And, of course, at the end of the game, going scoreless in the last 3-plus minutes. But I think they're finding their way. I love the way they responded after that Wichita State loss and in the holiday break and came back and beat a really good Cincinnati team and handled them. But they, you know, needed to win at TCU and didn't get it done. But that wasn't really soul-breaking. It's still early enough where they can get on a tear and do some damage in the Big 12 if they're good enough. But tonight, against Oklahoma State in Stillwater, if you can't win that one, I mean, that's one of the most winnable games left on your schedule, particularly road games. You got to get it. You just have to. And I will agree with people that the Cincinnati game was more of a mirage than reality if they lose in Stillwater.
Yeah, and then in the non-conference schedule, it seemed like the rotation was a little bit unsettled. You never know. You never knew quite after the main guys, obviously, which role players were going to play or how much. Do you think that's being resolved? Do you think the Big 12, the first two games in the Big 12 have kind of shown what Jerome Tang is going to do rotation-wise?
He's surprisingly down to basically a 6-man rotation, which I think is really light. He'll throw some guys in there, you know, to relieve some people. David Castillo, Caleb Ritz will come in and get some minutes, but he's really down to 6 guys with C.J. Jones coming off the bench now that Doug McDaniel's in the starting lineup. And I said this weeks ago that I think if K-State wants to really become a much better basketball team, Coleman Hawkins and Doug McDaniel's are going to have to assert themselves as a combo, much like we saw in the first season when he had 2 great players that worked really well together. Those guys need to get on the same page, and I feel like they're starting to do that. And now that Doug's in the starting lineup, he's having a greater impact. And Coleman Hawkins is looking for his shot, something that Jerome Tang said has been a struggle. He's a pass-first guy. He always wants to feed the ball to his teammates. and they had to have a conversation, you can do that, but your first option is to go score because that's what we need from you. And he's responded.
Talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. I was getting ready to ask you about Coleman Hawkins because I've watched quite a bit of K-State, especially recently, not so much early, but their recent games. He seems like that kind of player that if he's playing well, you're going to really like him because he's got a lot of personality and he's got a lot of charisma. But if he's not playing well, you're going to scratch your head and go, what's going on with this guy? Is that an accurate depiction of who he is?
Yeah, it is. He had a tendency earlier in the season to kind of stand on the fringe of the offense and just kind of hang out. And there just wasn't enough motion in totality for that offense. But when you've got a 6'10 guy that can shoot it from everywhere and can put the ball on the floor and handle it and pass it, you want him a little more involved than he was. And I feel like at Cincinnati throughout the game and also TCU in key parts of the game, we saw a great more activity on the offensive end, not standing around, not just by Coleman, but by everyone. And I think once Coleman started moving, everyone else started moving, and it just became, more of a cohesive offensive effort. I don't know if they're running anything different. They're just running it with more passion, including Coleman Hawkins.
Has the league been what you've expected so far? We know kind of the SEC is what's carrying, but really dominating college basketball right now, at least at the upper echelon, top 10 type teams. Do you feel like the Big 12 has the depth and the quality at the top that we were kind of advertised?
No, I don't actually. I think Kansas is one of the better teams, but I think even KU fans are going to scratch their head a little bit about where they're at right now, heading into Big 12 play, in the teeth of it. Arizona's been struggling, so it has been a little bit different, but. Again, it's going to add to the excitement of this conference because someone's going to have a really good Big 12 basketball season we just didn't expect. And I'm confident saying that won't be K-State, but it will be someone because I thought K-State would be a pretty good team, and they simply have not been. And, someone will step forward and start pushing Iowa State and Kansas and the other to Houston, the other teams that are going to be at the top of this conference. This is a really quality conference, but it hasn't backed up the talk in the postseason. And now, in a shocking turn of events, we're seeing ESPN prop up the SEC in basketball as well as football.
Tim Fitzgerald with us. Let's talk about the women because they are having another really special year. They're 15-1. They're winning their games blowout style almost every single night. And they have a real interesting matchup tomorrow night at Utah, which is 12-2, ranked 22nd in the country. What's this club capable of? Because right now they've added some really quality talent to what they had last year when injuries kind of hit them. Have they fortified themselves to the point where injuries maybe won't have that kind of an effect?
Yeah, they have. I think this staff did a great job of bolstering this roster. Tamira Poindexter, the Tulsa transfer, has been pretty solid. They've got a young shooter now. They've got a backup post now. The young shooter has been on the team, but I feel like there's just a lot more depth here. And you go back to the Texas Tech game that they won by 20 points. Ioka Lee played 19 minutes. I mean, they were able to really take some of the load off of her because they've got better answers when she leaves the floor. That, at the end of the day, when she was injured and then not quite 100% at the end of last season, that spelled doom for them. And I feel like they've added enough pieces where they can survive, be a little bit more competitive without her on the floor. And plus, being able to not play her so much at this point of the season might make her more fresh for the end of the season. This is a really good team. But we know this. You're going to be judged by where you finish in the Big 12 and how deep you go in the NCAA tournament. And that's a story that hasn't been written yet.
You have obviously a relationship within the K-State fan base. So I'm going to ask you this. You put it all together. What happened with the football season, winning a bowl game, for whatever that's worth, the performance of some of the players, You've got the men's basketball team, which is maybe not hit a stride yet. You've got women's basketball. You've got the other sports. What's the mood of the average K-State fan as we start the new year, 2025?
Grumpy. You know, despite the bowl win, I think that relieved some pressure. Thank God they won. I can't imagine how grumpy some of these fans would be, but I don't blame them either. And, you know, I've owned it. I thought football would be better. They weren't. I thought basketball would be great. They haven't been. And I think a lot of people share that frustration that this seemed to be a season that held a lot of promise on all fronts. And so far, only the women's basketball program is upholding that. Even volleyball, that we thought would be really good, struggled at times this season. So that's just how college sports work. Sometimes, you know, I don't think anyone expected anything from Jerome Tang's first season, and lo and behold, he went to the Elite Eight. And maybe that set a bar that's a little bit too high in expectations, but it has been a frustrating year. They thought they were in for kind of a dream season all across the board, and it hasn't really worked out that way.
Well, Grumpy's my world, so have those folks call me, Fitz.
Yeah, you're good at it. I feel like you're less emotional, Grumpy. Like, you just kind of go, blah, 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 and they curse and want people fired, and you just are just.
Blah. Yeah, I don't want anybody fired. We always appreciate you. Thanks for your time. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, giving us some insight into the world of sports at Kansas State University. How's the how's my granddaughter enjoying it? Is she back up there yet?
Not yet. She's...
When in the world do we go back to school, man?
We go back like the day after MLK Day, like the 21st.
Really? That long?
Yeah, you get a month, basically. It's 4 months, 1 month off, 4 months.
Wow.
Essentially.
Seems like I went to school more than that in college.
That was pretty much my schedule. I mean, all about 12 months off, but...
Yeah, I don't recall you ever being at school.
Be nice.
Ryan Petty joins us. He is a head boys basketball coach at Augusta High School. The Orioles are off to a 4-0 start. They have the mighty McPherson Bullpups, as I referred to them earlier in the show, tonight in Augusta. Hey, Coach Petty, Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. So this is kind of a litmus test here in early January. Kind of get a real feel about where you are. 4-0 is a nice record. But McPherson is one of those schools that you kind of gauge yourself against, right?
It 100% is. But I kind of got to call an audible on you guys with the weather. They have actually they've postponed our game tonight against McPherson.
Wow.
So
well, that's we just, were supposed that's to play. Awful. I was going to stop over at the, can't think of the name of that restaurant over in Augusta. Darn it. Well,
Sugar
I'm sorry
Shane?
To hear that. Yeah, that, there you go.
It's a good one.
Our friend Shane Scott.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was going to,
yeah.
Maybe, no, I wasn't going to come to the game, but hey, I like Augusta. So let's talk about your team. When's that game going to be made up?
So we don't 100% know yet. We've got a big wrestling tournament this weekend, so we're not going to be able to get it in this week. It's probably going to be first weekend of February. But so now all of our attention moves to Circle because we play them on Friday night. But just talking about our team this year, we're super young and inexperienced. You know, we knew that was going to be the way coming into the season. We lost five seniors that played a ton of minutes. But we knew we had a really, really skilled, successful young group coming in. And we've kind of got a unique rotation. We've got eight guys in our rotation. We have two seniors, two juniors, two sophomores, and two freshmen. And we're kind of led by junior Brody Haskell, who he's played for us the last 3 years. He's our only returner. He averages 15 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, 5 assists per game, and 3 steals per game. And then our next best player through 4 games has been our freshman who started all 4 games for us. His name is Beckham Stoops, and he's averaging 16.7 points per game, 5.3 rebounds per game. He made 6 threes against Winfield the other night before Christmas, and those two guys have kind of led us so far this year.
That's pretty impressive.
Wait a minute. You got a freshman averaging almost 17 points per game?
That is correct. He's shooting at a pretty high clip, too. He's a really skilled player. We knew he was coming up through the ranks, but he's going to be really good.
Yeah, I like to gauge this because, you know, everybody's in the same boat. You got about 2 weeks off. Yours is going to end up being about three since you don't play tonight. When do you use that time? Is that good to have that break and you know, really kind of retool and reconfigure and build on what you've started? Or do you hate having that much time off after a good start? And do you fear that there will be some rust to knock off?
Yeah, well, as a coach, anytime you get more practice time, you absolutely love it. The kids might not love it, but the coaches love it. We were able to put some different things in over the break and obviously a lot of prep time for McPherson because we know, just like you guys talked about earlier, they're the cream of the crop. We respect them. They are who we achieve to be at some point. So we put a ton of work and effort into them, but it's things that can transition to other games as well. You know, I've got a great staff, and it's funny. I was just talking. We were able to have a 2-4 optional practice. We just went over the scouting report for Circle. My assistant coach, he already had the Circle scout done, ready to go. So we've already gone over that today in film, and our guys are ready to play though. They're obviously frustrated we're not playing tonight, but we'll get going again on Friday.
Ryan Petty is our guest. He's the boys' basketball coach at Augusta. They are 4-0, getting ready now for Circle coming up Friday night. So I go way back. I'm kind of old, in case you didn't know. I went to Derby High School back in the early 70s. And at the time, Derby, even earlier than that, Derby was in the Chisholm Trail League, along with Augusta, along with Mulvane, along with, I believe, Winfield. Winfield may have joined later. But how much do rivalries still mean? And I would imagine that Mulvane, all these years later, Mulvane-Augusta means something. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, rivalries are huge here in this league. I mean, it's just you see each team twice a year, and everybody knows everybody's rosters. And depending upon location of your school, it's a big deal. And it seems like every single night in league, it's kind of got a small rivalry factor to it. But Circle, like I said, that's who we play Friday. They're just 7-8 miles up the road. I remember when I first got to Augusta, the first time we went to Circle, we got on the bus and literally 5 minutes later we were there. And I was like, is this close? So it kind of means a little bit more. And same kind of thing now, especially with travel ball. We're watching film on Circle today, and there's two or three players that our guys play with in the summer. So they know each other really well, and it's friendly banter, but it's going to be fun on Friday night to go against them.
Yeah, you mentioned, and we talked about your freshman, Beckham Stoops. I'm just, you know, reading a quote from him. It doesn't sound like, you know, the typical freshman quote. He sounds pretty mature, like he knows the game. Is that kind of what he exudes and conveys on the court? Is he a little advanced for his age?
He's 100% advanced for his age. He's been playing basketball since he's been in fourth grade. His dad's our assistant principal, and his dad's coached him since he was in fourth grade. His dad actually was on staff at Augusta probably 7-8 years ago. So his dad's not technically a coach right now, but he basically is a coach's kid, and he's grown up playing. He's very mature for his age. And just physically as well, you know, you've got a 6'1" frame. He's able to guard. That freshman group's been playing man-to-man defense since they were in fourth and fifth grade. A lot of youth teams play zone. So these guys that have come in, and it's not just him. We've got another Brody Chapel, who's a freshman. He had a double-double against Mulvane. He had 14-11 against Mulvane. He's a really good freshman player as well. So we're really excited with the young talent. Yeah. We're very happy with where we're at right now, but once again, we know we got a lot of work still to do.
Ryan Petty, our guest from Augusta, you mentioned no game tonight against McPherson due to travel conditions, but having McPherson in your division in the AVCTL and Coach Kinnaman and everything he's done there, how gratifying is it to be able to kind of look at what his teams do and prepare to play them and get to know a guy like that? How much do you glean from him?
A ton. You know, Coach Kinnaman, I have the utmost respect for him. I was able to work KU basketball camp with him this summer. Got to know him a little bit better. But even in the past, like, he's just a great coach. He's going to have something ready for us whenever we do end up playing them. He takes this very serious. He has his kids prepared, ready to play. He's absolutely one of the best out there. You know, I think back even to their championship game last year against Huguenin. They were 24-0. They had so much pressure on them to complete the perfect season, and they were in so much trouble. And just the way that he extended that basketball game and gave his kids more opportunities to win, and they ended up pushing it to overtime and ended up winning the state championship. He is just an absolute legend. And I tell our guys, too, you know, don't take it for granted. There's a lot of kids throughout the state that would love to go to McPherson and play at the Roundhouse. It's one of the best venues in the entire state, and we get the ability to do that once a year and to play against a team that is good every single year and against a coach who's a complete legend. So if you can't get up for that McPherson game, there might be something wrong with you.
Yeah, you know, just talking about you, you're a pretty young guy, I think, still. You had a coaching job at Liberal, came to Augusta about 4 years ago. So what have you learned over your coaching career so far? What's it like, you know, coaching this team as you have the last 4 years?
You know, I've learned a lot. There's just so many things that you don't know going into it. So many different issues that a head coach deals with on a day-to-day basis that the outside person would never know that they have to deal with. But with that, just with the experience, you learn to get better at it as time goes. But this team, you know, I posted about it. This team is so coachable. It's the most coachable group I've had. I'm having an absolute blast going into practice every day and just preparing. And it's like anytime we want to run something, the guys, they just get into it, and we might not do it perfect. But they're such a coachable group, and I'm having a blast so far.
Well, we really appreciate your time. We're sorry about the postponement tonight, because that game was certainly at the top of a lot of people's lists to see. But you'll play it here in the near future. And in the meantime, enjoy that unbeaten record while you have it, and we'll catch up with you down the road, Ryan.
All right, we appreciate the time, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right, Ryan Petty, head boys coach at Augusta.
Are you saying he's not going to have his unbeaten record for very long?
I'm saying enjoy it while you have it, as long as you have it.
Yeah.
However long that is.
I bet he was thinking, what?
Well, enjoy it while you have it. That's my motto.
That sounds like bulletin board material to me.
Put it up.
That's Kirk Kinnaman. Hey, guys, enjoy that record while you have it.
Enjoy it while you have it. Enjoy it while you have it. I can't be any more adamant.
Okay.
I don't know how long they'll be unbeaten.
Well, you still have it, I guess.
They might be unbeaten the entire year.
They might go 25-0. Who knows?
It'd be great.
I'd love it.
I'm just going to tell you right now that beating McPherson won't be a cup of tea.
It won't. For anybody.
Yeah, right.
Is McPherson undefeated? Enjoy it,
Derby
fellas.
Beat him.
That's right.
Derby beat him. Derby's undefeated, and they have Valley Center tonight.
Derby's disrespected. They're ranked 9th in 6A. Let's go, folks.
Well, got to prove yourself.
They have.
No, they haven't.
They beat Andover. They beat McPherson. They've beaten Valley Center.
You got to prove yourself.
If they're good.
I'd tell Coach Flory that.
Well, I wouldn't.
You got to do it in the postseason, my friends.
I wouldn't. I'd tell him you're getting hosed.
Yeah, because you're a whiner.
No.
I'm tough.
I want respect.
I'm much tougher. We'll be back. We've got an hour left. We'll play a game, and we look forward to it.
It's the weirdest thing. I feel like I've been in a coma for about 20 years, and I'm just now waking up.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I look out for this show, and it's awful to listen to you in that monotonic tone. I'll have a mono with tonic. That should be a drink.
I think so.
Jeff Lutz.
Monotonic? That's a mathematics term.
monotonic.
Oh, I doubt that's a word.
Okay, what is this, a stupid contest?
97.5 in 1240 KFH.
No logic, no reason, no explanation. Just a prolonged nightmare.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome back. The Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio as we begin hour number two on the KFH Radio podcast. It's Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you. We're going to play a game in a little bit. But this is our town hall segment in which we hope we get phone calls. But if we don't, we're equipped. We're big boys.
We can town hall it ourselves.
Things to talk about. And the thing I want to talk about is that Antonio Pierce is out as the head football coach of the Las Vegas Raiders as they continue to fumble around and do nothing. And
I don't like that.
Why?
They keep their GM. Titans fire their GM, keep their coach. I'm uncomfortable,
man.
I'm uncomfortable with
this. This is ownership. Can't fire the owner.
I know.
Same thing going on in Dallas. You can't fire that old man.
So I'd rather have Jerry Jones, though.
You just got to roll him out there and let him be an idiot and live in what he accomplished 40 years ago, and that's life. If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, that's what you got.
If Jerry Jones wanted to own the Cleveland Guardians, I'd welcome him with open arms.
Really?
Yes. I don't mind Jerry Jones. I really don't.
What's he done?
He hasn't really done much, but he puts his emotions on his sleeve. He says what he means. He says what he's going to do. He says what he's thinking. They asked him, hey, are you going to get a real GM?
Why are you letting Mike McCarthy twist in the wind? Either give the guy an extension, his contract's up.
Yes.
Or tell him you're done with him.
Well, maybe he's hoping this opportunity with the Bears or other teams he might interview will do the job for him, and he won't have to.
Well, that's not a way to treat a coach. Who's going to go want to coach for you?
His contract's over. He doesn't owe him anything at this point.
Tell him one way or the other. We're not renewing your contract, Mike. Sorry. You did a good job here. You had three consecutive 12-win seasons, but we're trying to win Super Bowls, and we don't think you're going to get that done for us, so we're parting ways.
That probably
How
would be helpful.
How is that?
Well, it's just day two after the end of the season.
His contract's up.
And he's interviewing elsewhere. And
no, he's not.
He interviewed with somebody.
The Bears have asked for permission.
Well then he's going to interview. I'm sure they'll grant him permission to interview.
I can't believe you're under the Jerry
Jones. Why do you
Jones
have to team? Ask permission for a guy who's not employed? That doesn't make any sense.
Because you do.
His contract must be up later on.
It's up.
In the calendar year.
No.
You don't think like April 1 or something?
Absolutely not.
You have no idea.
It's up at the end of the season.
How do
the
you know?
The season's over. Because I listened to these people talk about it this morning.
Then why would you have to ask permission to interview someone who's not employed with the team?
Because they're asking permission in case Jerry Jones wants to bring him back.
Yeah, I don't see that. It will expire shortly after the NFL season on January 14th. So maybe it hasn't.
Well, the 14th.
Oh, it'll expire on the 14th. That's what that means.
Well, the NFL season's over now.
Yeah, it's weird because what if he had been in the playoffs? His contract's up when they're in the playoffs?
Anyway, the Raiders need to go out and get somebody. Who would you go get?
I don't know. Why do they have to fire Pierce?
Because he hasn't done a good job.
They had Aiden O'Connell as his quarterback.
Yeah, if you haven't done a good job.
And the next guy's not going to do a good job either.
All they need is a quarterback.
Joe Milton. Telling you.
I don't know. You can't go on one game of Joe Milton.
It's pretty awesome.
In a game where the other team's not even trying.
They tried.
Who was it?
Buffalo.
They didn't even try. They were locked into their seat.
But they have some pride, right? Those guys want to put some.
No, they didn't even play their guys.
Damar Hamlin played.
Joe Milton. I'd rather have Milton Burrow.
Well, watch that game and then tell me Joe Milton. You're not going to get much. What are they picking? Six?
Yeah. They can get a good player.
They can get the third quarterback. Maybe.
They can get a good player at six.
Well, they will get a good player at six.
It'll be a cornerback.
And their drafts haven't been too bad. They got Brock Bowers. He's a superstar.
Yeah, let's get another superstar, put him in the defensive backfield, and then you're starting to talk.
Maybe. I don't think they're a cornerback short.
Again, the owner of this team needs to go. Well, watch what the Raiders do. I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth right now. The Raiders are going to have a good offseason.
Okay. Anthony Capper, our resident Raiders guy, would feel the same.
They're going to be aggressive, and they're going to be better.
Okay.
The problem is this division now, which used to be the Chiefs and no one else, is now the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, and no one else.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Well,
the Raiders let the Chargers and Broncos hire Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton while they hired Antonio Pierce.
I still don't dislike
that. You see what I'm saying?
I still don't dislike them hiring Antonio Pierce.
But they got proven NFL guys.
They're out there running Alexander
Madison. They got championship coaches.
Who's their number two receiver for $1,000?
You know that.
The Raiders. They have nothing. And you're going to fire the guy.
I had a good receiver. What's that guy's name?
Exactly.
I had him on my fantasy team. Think about it.
Jacoby.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers.
But he's not that good.
He's pretty good. He's not terrible.
But you're keeping the guy who put this god-awful team together, but not the guy who had to unfortunately coach it.
He's not a terrible player.
And
he's a good
player.
And got
you a couple wins late in the year.
I don't like Antonio Pierce. I thought I would. I don't. They've got to get a proven guy.
I don't know.
I agree with the guy that got in touch with me.
Well, who was it?
A friend of mine who said that it's too bad Belichick jumped at the college job before the Raiders had a chance to bring him in.
He'd never work for them, and no. Anthony Capper's on hold.
He's not a Raiders type guy.
Here's Anthony Capper, our friend. Who knows we're going to talk Raiders, and jumped in here. What's up, Cap?
I just got done popping my champagne. What's up with you guys?
We've been talking about it. I said it's a good thing that they're moving on, but my problem is I don't trust them to hire the right person to replace Antonio Pierce, and how can you trust them?
It's a valid thought, and you're not far off with what you're saying. But step one had to be moving on from Antonio Pierce. And I don't dislike Antonio Pierce. I think he had a decent role. He was just not fit to be an NFL head coach. The mismanagement of everything he did this year just kind of exposed him. So step one had to be moving on from him and making it somewhat of an attractive place for not only a new head coach but for coordinators to come in.
How about you develop a coach? I mean, that's one of your guys. Whether he's mismanaging things or not, it's year one. You're going to mess up. And he had a lot of players on the team that would exacerbate him messing up a lot because they were not very good. So isn't that part of a winning organization, like believing in somebody that can lead? They fire guys just left and right.
Well, I see what you're saying, but I think the mistakes that were made and the flaws that were so apparent throughout the season overruled any of that. I mean, I actually am surprised they made the move. I thought the move was going to be to keep him for another year, and it was just going to be, you know, he was going into a lame duck year on his contract, and it was, like I said, it was not going to be an attractive place to bring in any coordinators. It sounds like they're going to have to bring in two new coordinators. So I think starting from scratch is the move, and I think there are guys available. I know you guys were talking about Belichick, who obviously is going to North Carolina. I'm glad that he's going to North Carolina because I don't want somebody like him in there. My pick would be Mike Vrabel, but I think there's guys who are out there who are steps ahead of where he needs to be or where Antonio Pierce was, and that's the move, is to bring somebody in who's ahead of versus developing Antonio Pierce. The NFL moves too
Vrabel
fast
would
to develop
be,
a guy like that.
Vrabel's a slam dunk, but he's going to New England, right?
You would think.
I think that's the consensus, yeah, and I think that's my pipe dream of a coach, because I look at what Campbell has done in Detroit, and that's what I want. I want a guy to bring in a new culture. I think that the organization needs an entire revamp of culture, and it starts with somebody like Vrabel, who is a culture guy. So probably not the guy that they're going to land, but that's my dream.
Mark Davis.
Not going to happen?
Mark, no. Mark
he
Davis
haunts the franchise.
He's a clown. Well, and I tweeted this earlier. Mark Davis is the kid who's playing with his daddy's toy that he never learned how to play with and doesn't want to ask for help. So I'm hoping that he's wise enough at this point to ask for help and from those within the organization. I know Tom Brady may have some say. I don't know how much weight that holds, but it's time to stop trying to do this on your own and ask for help.
What are you going to do at quarterback? Because you're not going to be able to get one of the top two quarterbacks at number six. So do you – I said Joe Milton just from how he played for New England the other day was just amazing. I don't know if you're on the same page, but what do you do at that position?
Well, I think you need to find the best guy out there, not in the draft, because they're not going to get one of the top two guys in the draft. So you need to find the best guy out there, whoever that is in free agency or whatever you need to do. And in the draft, you focus on your other weak spots. It's not going to be quarterback, so you don't reach on a quarterback. I've seen a couple mock drafts. One has them taking the wide receiver out of Arizona, who I like, and the other has them taking the edge rusher from Penn State, who I like. And I think if you start pairing guys together, another edge rusher paired up with Max Crosby, those are the kind of things you do as an organization to kind of solidify yourself and make who you want to be going forward. So we'll see. It's the Raiders. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the Raiders, and they have no history of doing things right. So I get false hope by them making the right move in my mind, but they'll find a way to gum it up.
Sam Darnold's a free agent. I'm reading a piece on CBS Sports predicting he'll resign with Minnesota. He'd be crazy not to. They have the Raiders signing Justin Fields for 1 year. Thoughts?
To me, that doesn't make sense. That's a total experiment. I mean, I get the optics of it, but I think there's, again, it's just like Antonio Pierce, there's better options out there. If you're going to sign Justin Fields, you may as well stay in-house with Aiden O'Connell and just take what you get next year and hope that there's a quarterback in the draft the following year.
Yep. Cap, always good. Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Anthony Capra, our friend, visiting about the Raiders. And he's as diehard about them as anybody I know. And I know a lot of Raiders diehards. One thing about this, you know, years ago when I became a Raiders guy, they accepted me lock, stock, and barrel.
All three of them?
That club. And they like
me. How come we only hear from one of them?
They like me.
Does Shannon Great like you?
Well, ask him sometime.
Haven't seen him in a while.
Ask him if he likes me.
Okay.
Raider Nate likes me.
You sure?
Yeah, he's going to coach in League 42 this
year. That's outstanding.
I appreciate that.
As you should.
More than you can know.
I get it.
All right, Max, let's take a break. We'll come back and play a game. And then we'll bid adieu on a Tuesday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, back in 1975 on This Week, Never Can Say Goodbye, Gloria Gaynor, the 14th rated song of the week.
Name her signature hit.
What was that song?
I Will Survive.
Yeah, I Will Survive. All right, Max, it is...
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Time to play the game here on the Bob and Jeff Show. What do you have for
You're going to hate this game.
I already do.
But Max is playing too.
I already hate it. I can tell by the little bits of paper you've written on.
What can you tell about those?
I don't like the paper.
I'm going to give you the anagram of a Major League Baseball team. You're going to tell me what team that is. So I'm mixing up the letters.
I know what an anagram
is. Well, maybe Max doesn't. I don't know. Maybe our listeners
don't. Insult our intelligence. My God.
But it's both names, right? So it's the city and the team name.
All right, I'll start.
You get two guesses.
Oh, good.
You back and forth. Whoever gets it gets a point. If you don't get it in two guesses, nobody gets a point.
All right, let's go.
You're going first. Les Gongs Reloaded.
What?
Les Gongs Reloaded.
Los Angeles Dodgers.
That is correct. Good job.
Yeah. We...
This is the dumbest.
Oh, my God.
Most ridiculous. I know, Max.
Well, it's only on the podcast.
It's insulting our intelligence to even play it.
It is?
Go ahead. What's Max's?
Max, Meatless Trainer. Meatless Trainer.
Seattle Mariners?
That is correct.
Oh, that's a lucky guess.
I didn't think you guys do that well. But you're doing just fine.
Lucky guess.
Insistent Woman.
Insistent Woman?
Insistent Woman.
Well, you got to give me a second.
Yeah, take your time.
Hey, you,
we're not going anywhere.
You got to give me a second.
Insistent Woman.
Yeah, I know what you said.
If it would help you to write it out, do what you got to do.
No, I don't need to write it out. I'm thinking right now. Insistent Woman.
Yeah, that's right.
Boy, that's a tough one now. Insistent Woman. Oh, my gosh. What in the world?
What could it be?
What could it be?
10 seconds.
No, not 10. Don't give me that 10 seconds.
Well, then Max gets a try, and then you, and if he doesn't get it, you get another
chance. Be quiet
while
I think. Okay?
10 seconds.
No, no, no 10 seconds.
There's a time limit here. You can't just rattle it.
Quit talking. That's got to be the White Sox.
Max, Insistent Woman.
Some team with a W in it.
Don't look up teams.
I'm not. I'm just trying to think of a team with a W in it.
Bob is.
I'm not.
He's cheating.
No, I'm not.
You're about to.
No, I'm not. Why is this so hard?
I'm going to need a guess.
I can't think of another team in New York.
Because it doesn't have the cadence of the team.
I can't tell you.
You have another.
I'm thinking. I'm going.
Team of the W.
I'm going through the Rolodex of my mind. I can't think of a team outside of the White Sox.
Well, there's no X.
That has a W.
Insistent Woman.
What is it?
Max, do you have a second guess?
Well, just get to the
No.
Well, you get two guesses each, so I want to make sure we exhaust
those.
Well,
hold on. Let me look here and at least come up with a team that has a W. My goodness. Oh, the Washington Nationals.
Incorrect.
What?
Max.
That can't be incorrect.
W, I can't. Milwaukee Brewers.
Incorrect.
What?
It's the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, God.
There's no W in Minnesota. Oh, there is a
Twins.
W. Twins. Doggone it, Max. All
right. Hey, let's stump Max. Jeff. Let me stump Jeff on this one.
Okay.
In the Gilmore Girls, or Gilroy Girls, I call them, name me Luke's baby mama's name. Or his his daughter.
Isn't there someone in that group named April?
That's his daughter.
Okay, well, I don't remember.
Very good. I'll give you that one.
It's been a while since I've watched Gilmore Girls.
Been watching Gilmore Girls a lot. That and Two Broke Girls.
You should watch it. Everybody should. Your team, Max, anagrammed, sneaky key owner.
What?
Sneaky key owner.
Sneaky key owner?
Yes, New York correct. Yankees.
That's correct.
So easy.
Easy?
That wasn't
yes.
easy.
Get it? Bob, user beware, we milk.
Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes.
How long did you spend on this, Jeff?
I am so fed up with this
Why?
Game.
Why? It's tied. You're not doing badly. You're 2-3.
A poor game.
Max, a hangnail in two snots.
Los Angeles Angels?
Incorrect. Bob's cheating, so let's see what
he's... I'm not cheating.
You're looking at a list of teams.
I'm not looking at anything. Well, it's got to be, what?
A hangnail in two snots. In, not and. In. A hangnail in two
That's
snots.
That's got to be the Nationals.
Yeah, but I'm not giving it to
no,
you.
No, I didn't look.
Yeah, you did.
I looked earlier at the teams that have a W, and that's one of them.
Are you up?
Yes.
Trash outs soon.
Houston Astros.
Yep. Max.
Now I'm killing this game.
Max, ox sends robot.
That's so easy. But, Max, if you don't get...
What was the word?
Ox sends robot.
Boston Red Sox.
My yes. God. Just spell it out for the guy.
I didn't hear what he said.
I know, but that was so easy.
Grittiest doer.
Grittiest doer.
Yes.
Grittiest doer.
Yeah, that's correct.
Detroit Tigers.
Yes.
Oh, my. Max, I'm putting it together in this game.
I'll say that.
Score?
5-3.
Oh, it's more than that.
No, that's what it is. Max, crocodile, so okra.
So is S-O.
S-O. Crocodile, so okra.
Chicago White Sox.
Incorrect.
Rah.
Crocodiles.
Crocodile.
Crocodile.
So okra.
So okra.
Yes.
Well, that's a tough one. Give me a second to think about
it. Well, think about it.
Well, give me a second.
Think about it.
Well, just quit talking. It distracts me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Crocodile so okra.
Yep.
That would have to be, my gosh.
Something you should get.
That would have to be the, can I look?
No. But it shouldn't be hard.
Los Angeles Angels.
Incorrect. Max, back to you for a second guess on crocodile, so okra.
Well, this is wrong out of the chute.
How do you figure?
This team's not named that anymore.
I believe they are.
Cleveland Guardians.
Incorrect. Crocodile, so okra. Do you have a second guess? To exhaust.
Crocodile, so okra.
Yeah.
Oh. Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, I'm not giving that to you.
Yeah, you are. That's who I thought it was.
You're staring right at it.
That's who I thought it was.
You're staring right at it. Son, S-O-N, LBJ, ate our boy. Son.
Dude, that's no, the LBJ is not a word.
Son, LBJ ate our boy.
That's not a word.
It's a person. It counts. Son, LBJ ate our boy.
Is that Max's?
No, that's yours.
That's mine?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Who has a J in their name?
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Yes.
I'm going down the list.
You're
man.
Saying it.
Huh?
You're saying it.
What do you mean I'm saying?
Who has a what in their name?
Who has a J in their name?
Yeah, who does?
Yeah, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, I'm not giving that to you.
I didn't look.
I told you, though. I told
no, you
what
didn't.
It was. Max.
That I get the point there.
You don't want to be we'll in a see. Real I'll, game I'll show think. With Jeff as a judge, that's for sure. He'd be.
Max, my town reeks.
That's so easy.
Really? My town reeks.
That my, is pretty easy.
My town reeks.
Think about it, Max.
I know, I'm laughing. My town
reeks. Give him five.
I don't know.
Ten.
My town reeks.
Max is in tears.
My town reeks. I can't think of any baseball teams right now.
Can I have it?
Yeah, I take it.
Hold.
My town the Mets.
Yeah.
My
New York
town
Mets. This is a really easy one. Garner's taxes.
Garner's taxes?
Yeah.
That's an easy one?
Extremely, yes.
Texas Rangers.
Yeah, that was, come on. Max, go cubic cash.
Go cubic cash. Team has a Q in it. Yeah, no.
Go cubic cash.
I don't it's know, Chicago name, White so Sox.
You're very close.
Cubs, then.
Go Cubic Cash.
Cubs.
Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. Yes, that's
what's
correct.
The score now?
8-3.
I'm getting killed.
Oh, my God. This is an absolute trouncing. One more.
That's it? In a zoo amid.
One more round.
In a zoo amid bank cards.
In a zoo. Amid bank cards.
Yes.
Let me think about it for a second.
In a zoo. Amid bank cards.
Boy, this is tough.
Could be.
Arizona Diamondback.
Yes.
That's Max, correct. I think
oh.
And we'll give you one more shot
my
here.
My team
but,
reeks.
My town reeks. Let's ban Avatar.
Let's ban Avatar.
Yes. Unfortunately, a whitewashing in this game.
Yeah, it is. It's over, Johnny.
You didn't really come to compete.
No. I got the Seattle Mariners.
But if you could think of a team that has a V in it, you might get somewhere. Yeah.
Well, there's an easy one.
Yeah. There's really only one, I think. Don't quote me on that.
I got
time.
Yeah.
Bob.
Well, the only team that I think of that would have to be the Braves, right?
Yeah, I'm not giving it to you.
And look, it's the Braves.
He looked the whole time.
I did
Max,
not look.
Max, you're the winner. Bob is disqualified.
There's another win for me.
Yeah. I don't think so.
You didn't
I think
give
so.
The Cardinals?
Well, that one was a sadistic sun roll.
Well, that's a great one.
It's not bad.
Are the Cardinals going to do anything?
I don't know. What will you give us for Emmanuel Clase?
I don't want Emmanuel Clase. We're trying to get rid of our closer. Or at least hold him until the trade deadline, which makes no sense. They think they might get more, but what if he gets hurt, right? Ryan Helsley we're talking about.
Tough.
It's crazy.
A lot of decisions to make.
All right, we have come to the end. We appreciate all of you listening. Our new time slot, we try to do is a little bit into the hour number two when we have a conflict with a game like we do this evening with Kansas State. Thank you for listening to the show. We'll be back here tomorrow. We'll be joined by our friend Mike Furches. I really look forward to it because there's so much to talk about. This is the premium time of the year to talk pop culture, and we'll do so tomorrow with Mike. Thanks again. We'll see you tomorrow.
For 2026, Toyota is the best resale value brand according to Kelley Blue Book. With the Tacoma, Tundra, and 4Runner named the top three for resale value above all vehicles by KBB. And with special financing available at your local Toyota dealer, you can enjoy affordability today. While great resale value can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KelleyBlueBooksKBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.